Hello, Grinders, and welcome back to the Daily Fantasy Fix Podcast. I'm your host, Travis Mangone, here to break down today's slate for you guys. Dan Bach, he's not in today, but I'll be here talking about the slate. It's definitely a fun one. Mondays, they're kind of on and off slate. Sometimes they're good, sometimes they're bad, but I kind of like today's slate. We got a mix of pitchers, got a mix of some offenses, no Coors too, kind of getting sick of Coors Field as well. So overall, I really like the slate. If you guys haven't, though, check out Fantasy Draft, our sponsor site, and try out some contests over there. It's a great place to play if you don't like playing, catchers and shortstops. They have position flexibility, so you can get, tons of different exposure over there. And if you're playing a site like, with DraftKings already, it's very similar pricing over there, so you can easily make a lineup. So head on over, check that out, join the $25 tournament. That's always a really good one to get in on. For a first time, it's a good one because, you get to play against people that are less competition, I guess you could say. You don't have to worry about the Rougned Odor double home run against Justin Verlander to win a tournament, right? Because probably no one played that on that site over there. So that's the thing that I like about Fantasy Draft. It's definitely a good time. So check that out. But let's dive right in and kind of talk about the slate here, guys. We got the Philadelphia Phillies and the Boston Red Sox. First game up, 9 total, and we have Aaron Nola and David Price. And, for Aaron Nola and David Price, I don't expect a 9 total, but again, this game is in Boston, so obviously it's good for offense. And seeing both these pitchers on the mound, it doesn't get me excited to really target too much offense. That's like the weird thing. Seeing a 9 total, it's like you should want to play some of these bats, but it's just, I look at the pitchers, right? I look at Nola. I never like to target Nola, and I never like to target the Red Sox offense, so it's kind of like I'm passing on Nola, and I'm passing on the Red Sox. And I look at David Price, and he's a pitcher that he's fine. He's been good this season. He's had his ups and downs, but against the Phillies, it's like all I want to do is kind of maybe take a shot on like a Rhys Hoskins or a Santana. I do get how this ballpark could be appealing because, Philadelphia is a boom bust team, and when they boom, man, they go off. And in this type of ballpark, this fits them well. But in a matchup against David Price, I know Price is a guy that when he gets hit, he gets hit hard and it's a bunch of home runs. So the question is, how do you approach this game? And I think it's just, if you like the Phillies offense, you play them only in tournaments. That's kind of how you do it. You load up on them and kind of call it a day. But I don't really think it's the greatest tournament stack. If you play it, I'd want like a very small percentage. And I don't really love David Price too against the Phillies here. I more so like to attack the Phillies with right-handed pitching. So not one of my favorite games to discuss on today's slate. If I take any one off though, I'll take Rhys Hoskins as my favorite one off in the game. So next game up, we got the Miami Marlins. You got the Atlanta Braves, 9 total here with Wei-Yin Chen against Julio Teheran. And this is a game where, I'll first look at it, I'm saying Julio Teheran's kind of interesting, right? We get a righty-heavy Miami team. Sure, this Miami team is not the greatest, and they can be pesky at times, and they have some decent hitters like Realmuto and Bohr, but if Teheran can just work his way through that, I think he'd be perfectly fine. It's the lefties is what gives Teheran a massive problem. That's really what he struggled with throughout his career. It's been, basically his bread and butter is worked off of the righties, and if it's going to be a strong right-handed lineup, man, this could be perfect for him. Look at the numbers here. Woba, 348, ISO, 193 against lefties. XFIP is 4.64 this season. The walks are at 11.5. The K percentage at 21.7%. I don't love those numbers. He hasn't been the greatest this year. And yeah, against righties, the ISO is at 235, which is definitely a little frustrating, but I don't know. It's just, I'm kind of trusting the long-term career numbers and how he's been against righties compared to lefties, and I'm kind of just saying I think he could have a pretty successful game. It's definitely a tournament play. It's not something I'm doing in cash games. I think it's definitely something we have to consider, though, just looking at his price. DraftKings, you get him at 7.3K. Interesting SB2 option. 14.6K on Fantasy Draft, and then you get him over on FanDuel at 7.6K. So I like the price against this offense. It's a perfect spot for him to thrive. Sure, it can be scary to roster Teheran, but again, it's a tournament only play for me. Let's talk about Wei-Yin Chen now, and this is a bad spot for Wei-Yin Chen. Fly ball guy against this Braves offense in the hot weather. This could be an absolute disaster. I think the Braves are a really good stack. They're a team that I look at, and I see their prices around the industry, and, Acuna, 4.7, Albies, 5.3, Freeman, 4.8, Marquez, 4.1. All those guys at the top, they're kind of expensive, and I think they just become an overlooked stack based on their price, right? I could see other people just gravitating to other offenses like normal. Maybe I'm wrong. But they do have the highest total on the slate, so I could be absolutely wrong on this one. But it just feels like the Indians kind of at times, where the Indians, they have like that top four are really expensive, and there's normally other options to go to. I guess there's just not a ton. I mean, there's the Indians who have a high total, the Twins, and the Diamondbacks. I'm kind of talking in circles, but I'm just trying to think through the ownership on what the Braves will be, because the Braves never get strong ownership. And do people actually want to pay these prices on Acuña, Albies, Freeman, and Markakis? It just doesn't feel like that's something that they would want to do, especially with two lefties in Freeman and Markakis. So I could see this stack possibly goes on their own, but maybe I'm wrong. And I like the stack anyways. It doesn't matter what the ownership is. I think I'm going to have some exposure to it. Looking at Tyler Flowers, I think he's going to be a guy that we look to in our cash games. I think he's a strong play where you need to play a catcher. On a site like Fantasy Draft, nah, I'll pass on that. But I do think where you need to play a catcher, Tyler Flowers could be a really nice value. Also wanted to note Justin Bour is a value, 7.7K on Fantasy Draft. DraftKings, he's 4K. But the real value is 2.5K on FanDuel for Justin Bour. Against Julio Teheran, I love going to Justin Bour, especially on FanDuel. I think it's a phenomenal play to get some exposure to. Same with Derek Dietrich too at 2.5, really good value there against Teheran. So yeah, like I said, I like Teheran, but some of those lefties have way too cheap prices over on FanDuel. Let's go on to the next game, and it's the Cleveland Indians, Minnesota Twins, 10 total here, and 5.23 total, probably. I think that's the highest total on the slate for the Indians. Yeah, it's the highest total here, so I think everyone's going to gravitate towards them today. They're a team that everyone always likes. They say, oh, I like the Indians, but they always have the Yankees and Coors and all these other bats to worry about, but you get to look at the numbers on Ervin Santana, and this is definitely a spot where we're going to want to target him. He's a pitcher that has had a lot of struggles throughout his career. Exit 5.21. The K percentage at 21.7% this season, 4.3% walk rate. Again, these are really small sample size, 14 at-bats against lefties, and against righties, it's 9. So let's give you the 2017 and 2018 data just to make sure. And yeah, 4.81 xFIP, the K percentage is 19%, walks are at 7.1. You know, he actually had a pretty solid season if you combine the numbers with last season, but Santana's a guy that I definitely want to target with this Indians offense. The only argument I think I could have against it is like, hey, they are on the road, right? That is one of those things that, for some reason, the Indians' offense is not as good on the road, but I still kind of want to pay up for these guys. Again, like, looking at Santana's numbers, when you include 2017 and 2018, it's definitely not as bad as I was thinking it was going to be. I definitely thought it was a lot worse, but still, 5.23 implied total. Vegas kind of thinks that they're one of the best offenses on the day. If you have the money to spend on these guys, it makes sense to spend on them. If we look for specific values here, like Brantley at 3.3 on FanDuel is a nice value. Alonso at 3.2, that's a very nice value here against Santana. DraftKings, it's like, yeah, of course I want Lindor, but do I want to play 5-6 for him? We could probably just spend our money better elsewhere, so I don't know if I'm going to end up doing that, but I kind of have to see how it goes once I'm going through and making my rosters once lineups come out. Alonso at 4.6, I really don't like that. I'd probably rather play Edwin Encarnacion on DraftKings if you force me to pick, or Brantley at 4.6. And then on Fantasy Draft, I guess it's kind of similar. I'd rather go to Edwin Encarnacion than Alonso as the value to go to. And look to see if there's maybe one of those cheap guys, like a Melky Cabrera gets a good lineup spot. That could obviously end up happening as well. So yeah, that's about it though for the Indian side. It's again, like I always say, really expensive guys at the top, and if you have the money to spend on them, sure. But I don't know if it's going to be a day that we have that money to spend on them, at least in our cash games. But we'll have to kind of see how it ends up going, because I think it's a day that you want to be spending up on some of your pitchers today. Let's talk about Bieber a little bit. He's a guy that, you know, he was playing pretty well to start out the year. I kind of thought like he wouldn't be as good as he was, and he was good, and I was like, this cannot continue. It doesn't seem like it, but 2.97 xFIP, 22.6K percentage, walk rates at 4.1. I don't know how he's getting it done, especially if you look at his wOBA against lefties at 4.44, ISO at 2.86. I definitely think we should be looking at some of these lefties here on the Twins. Feels like a day where Eddie Rosario could absolutely go nuts, right? Maybe a double home run day for Eddie Rosario. He pulls those out a lot just out of nowhere. Feels like that this could be maybe the day for it. I know Twins Park is not greatest for lefty power, but I don't know. It just seems like with the numbers on Bieber against lefties and how much power and pop Rosario has, I think he could be interesting. Polanco in that three hole, you know, he's 2.8K on FanDuel, really nice price. DraftKings 4.1 and Fantasy Draft 8.5. Don't love those price on him, but FanDuel specifically interesting value. Logan Morrison is 7.7 on Fantasy Draft. Like him, I'm definitely just looking to target some of these lefties here. Morrison is also 2.8 over on FanDuel. So Yeah, no, Twins offense is definitely in play. There's a 10 total here. This is a game where it looks like a good game stack. People are going to be all over these offenses. They're going to see the 10 total and say, hey, I need to get exposure to this game a lot. So I'll be doing the same. I'm sure others will as well. Next game up, Colorado Rockies, St. Louis Cardinals, 8 total. We got Tyler Anderson and Carlos Martinez on the mound. And yeah, I don't know what I really want to do here with this game. It's like, sure, Carlos Martinez is a guy that he can blow up and have his struggles, but the Rockies' offense is a lot worse on the road. If this game was in Coors, I think I'd be, you know, excited about it, right? Even if it was Carlos Martinez, I probably wouldn't care. I'd just be like, oh, I'm going to load up here. Makes a lot of sense, but looking at Martinez's numbers, you know, he's given up the air distances a lot more. He's given up the hard contact is down a little. He's obviously coming back from, you know, some injury, though, so these numbers are kind of skewed for the last 30 days, but I don't know what I want to do with the Rockies here. I'm kind of torn and confused. Vegas thinks that Martinez is going to pitch a gem, it seems like, right? 3.75 total here against the Rockies. Of course, it's out of Coors, but I don't know. I don't really like Carlos Martinez, and I kind of want to attack some of these Rockies, like Parra at the top and Charlie Blackman. Like, you see him at 3.9K on FanDuel and Parra at 2.4 and Carlos Gonzalez at 2.8. Like, I just see those prices and get kind of excited, right? It's just, you don't get to get them that cheap too often. But on DraftKings, it's like 4.8 for Blackman. Parra's 3.8, so that's a nice value. Cargo is then 4.9. And then Fantasy Draft, it's like still Charlie Blackman 8.9 is really, really cheap. Like, I talked about Escobar, or not Escobar, Polanco for the Twins. Would you rather have Polanco at 8.5 against Bieber or Charlie Blackman, just a talent to him for $400 more, even though it's against Carlos Martinez? I kind of think I'd rather take a shot on going with Blackman. But yeah, I just think there's some nice prices on some of these Rockies that you don't see as often. Even Trevor Story at 8.1 is interesting, like Arenado 8.8. You're just getting that Coors discount. It seems like they discounted it a little too much where it's kind of appealing today. I think they did it for the, they priced it for not only the matchup, but they priced it for the park as well. So I think some Rockies could come in play. Don't love it as a stack, but I'm sort of intrigued by them. That's kind of my long rant on the Rockies there. Let's talk about the Cardinals now, and against Tyler Anderson, I just don't like this spot too much for these guys. Anderson is not someone that I've been picking on too much recently, so I just think I'm going to kind of stay away. 4.12 xFIP, 22.5K percentage, walk rate is at 7.8%. The ISO against lefties is where he's had his troubles at 234 and the WOBA at 341. Against righties, 322 WOBA and a 184 ISO. So sure, he's had his troubles, but I do think that this is a spot where kind of torn at what I want to do. I just think it's one of those games where I can pick some guys here and there, right? Maybe I'll pick like a Paul DeJong out if he fits my last spot, right? As a one-off, don't hate that against Anderson, but not one of my favorite spots to go to. And yeah, overall, just pick a couple bats here and there and try and find some value. Next game up, Texas Rangers, Arizona Diamondbacks is an 8.5 total with Martin Perez against Robbie Ray. This is a really interesting game. Got the Humidor in action in Arizona, which means I'm obviously going to be interested in some pitching here. And the guy that I like a lot here, he's probably one of my favorite point per dollar plays in the day. I'll be jamming him in for sure. Maybe not jamming him in, but putting him in my lineup because I think he's going to be a strong source of value is Robbie Ray. He's 8.3K over on FanDuel, DraftKings 8K, and Fantasy Draft 15.2K. That's just a really cheap price. He's going to be my cash game pitcher, it seems like, on the day. Helps me get in the bats as well. I just think it's a really good spot for him. It's not my favorite day for the bats today, though. That is one thing I can say. It's not like I see, you know, the Yankees in a 6 total, the Red Sox in a 5.8, and then we see, you know, Coors out there. It's not one of those days where I feel like I have to have a top pitcher like this, but I look at just the value of what Robbie Ray is, and that's just too cheap for him. And I kind of look at some of these other pitchers, and I just don't like the matchups for some of these aces, some that we've talked about and some coming up. So I'm kind of just thinking it's going to be a Robbie Ray day for me here. That's a Texas lineup where the guys that I'm scared of in this lineup are normally left-handed, so definitely could be a lot of K's in the lineup, so we'll kind of have to see how it shakes up. And man, if we get Joey Gallo in there, that would be awesome, right? That'd just be free K's for Robbie Ray, but don't think that's gonna be happening for us. But kind of let's look at the lineup here. Chu, Odor, Andrus, Beltre, Profar, Chirinos, Willie Calhoun, and Carlos Tochi. Like, that's just a really ugly lineup. Also, Texas is losing a DH. That's worth noting. Now we got Martin Perez standing in the batter box against Robbie Ray. That seems like it's free K's coming. So Robbie Ray is my top pitcher. I'm going to be playing him probably 100% right now, unless something crazy changes, but I think he's just the guy for me. So love him on this slate. Let's look at the Texas Rangers now. We got Martin Perez here going up against the Diamondbacks offense, and Martin Perez is a guy that, man, I've been targeting. It's definitely something that I want to keep targeting throughout the year, but he can be frustrating at times. He just is like one of those magicians in the league that somehow finds a way to get it done, and you can never explain it, right? But 5.04 xFIP, K percentage at 12.8%, walk rate at 9.7. Sample size against lefties is 36, but he's given up a 206 ISO and a 356 wOBA. And against righties, he's got plate appearances 160 with a 449 wOBA and a 225 ISO. You know what that means when I see a bad lefty going into the Arizona Diamondbacks lineup. That means I am loving me some Paul Goatschmidt, as I call him, because he's the goat. Love him against a bad lefty. When I see a bad lefty, I fire him up. I'll probably be loading up Paul Goldschmidt as one of my spend up options in my cash games, in my tournaments. He's a phenomenal play. Like AJ Pollock, Steven Souza, Nick Ahmed, Kettle Marte, all those guys are going to be phenomenal plays that I'm looking at. And hey, if you need a cheap option too, a catcher, John Ryan Murphy has been really good this season. He's probably cooled down a little bit, but I do think he's a guy that we can definitely be considering for the power option as maybe a guy in a wraparound stack too if he's towards the bottom of the lineup. So, and that's kind of it, though. Diamondbacks are one of the better stacks on the day. Definitely think it's a good day to play some Arizona. So fire up them. I'm going to love that. And I'm thinking, you know, FanDuel specifically, as I'm thinking of construction, it seems like a good day to maybe go two catcher first base options, because Goldschmidt is such a good spend-up option. There was a lot of first basemen I've already kind of discussed that I like. So seems like a day where on FanDuel, the utility might be used best that way. And maybe your infield, too, on Fantasy Draft, you know, our sponsor. Just fire up all these first basemen we talked about. Talked about Justin Bour as one of them, who I love. Talked about Goldschmidt. Talked about Logan Morrison in a pretty good spot here. Edwin Encarnacion. There's a lot of first basemen. Even Freddie Freeman. Like, no one will play him lefty-lefty against a bad fly ball pitcher, right? They're just going to spend up for Goldschmidt. So a contrarian option on Fantasy Draft, I think, could be spending up on a Freeman and spending up on a Goldschmidt, right? If you spend up on both those guys together, you just get, like, how many teams are making a Goldschmidt and Freeman team? I just don't think that's happening too much because, you know, people are going to use that Freeman is more so as the pivot, but that's about it for that game. It's all Diamondbacks pitching and hitting. Let's go to Toronto Blue Jays, the Oakland Athletics. Marco Estrada versus Edwin Jackson. And surprised to see Edwin Jackson against the Blue Jays team having only a 3.99 implied total. That doesn't make a ton of sense to me because, you know, Edwin Jackson is not a good pitcher. So I'm kind of perplexed at why that is the case right now. My only guess is that Vegas is buying into him. He has a 3.61 xFIP this season, K percentage at 19%, walk rate at 7%. But, you know, he's, you know, struggling against lefties. ISO at 192, wOBA at 300. Fly balls is giving up 50% of the time, but he is keeping that hard contact down. Don't know how he's doing it, but I don't know. I don't love a lot of Blue Jays options, so I guess maybe I don't want to pick on him too much. You look at the 2017 and 2018 numbers, though. Jackson has a 5.02 xFIP, giving up a wOBA against lefties at 329, an ISO 188 against righties, 385, an ISO of, you know, 300, and that's a bigger sample, 250 plate appearances against lefties and 231 against righties, and that's just last season, guys. So he's got some regression coming. I think a low-owned Blue Jay stack could be interesting. I just hate the ballpark, right? The ballpark's not good for hitters. Maybe this isn't the time to do it, but if you're listening to this podcast and then you know, you see Edwin Jackson in like 5 days from now, he'd probably get a weekend start, I would assume. So, maybe it's the time to really attack Edwin Jackson coming up here soon. Just, seeing those numbers from last year and seeing what he has this year, it just seems like it's a spot where eventually we can, target him. But, I do think some of these lefties could be interesting, like a Granderson and a Smoke and a Morales. Those are three guys I'd maybe look at, but I guess I'm not going crazy with Blue Jays. It isn't the greatest spot. It's not the greatest team. The Blue Jays are an ugly offense right now. So, maybe Edwin Jackson finds a way to get it done once again, but his time to blow up is coming soon. I promise you that. Marco Estrada now, he's a guy that I definitely think we could target. Nick Martini at the top of the order, he's definitely going to be an intriguing option. Like Jed Lowrie a lot, he's one of my favorite options. And Matt Olson too, another first base we kind of are going to talk about here. We want to target Marco Estrada with these lefties. It's definitely a phenomenal spot here. Estrada's going to be a 5.30 xFIP this season. He's definitely struggled, 8.1 walk percentage, the K percentage at 20.9%, but he's a fly ball pitcher. And yeah, fly ball pitchers are better in Oakland, but he's still going to give up fly balls, and I don't want to give up fly balls to Oakland. That's a disaster normally, 51.4 fly ball percentage, and you know, against righties, an ISO of 223, 370 wOBA, ISO against lefties, 203. looking at the righty numbers, that means I think we really have to consider Chris Davis with a K more too. I think that could definitely be very intriguing. So yeah, this is a good spot to target Estrada. So fire up this Oakland team. I think they could be an interesting stack too in tournaments that people might not play. I typically am someone who plays Oakland outside of Oakland more. I try to just get them on the road when they're in great spots, but this is still a good spot at home. So definitely an interesting option. Let's look at the San Francisco Giants, the San Diego Padres here, and we got an 8 total with Derek Holland and Eric Lauer, and yeah, I don't love a lot here. Maybe I just go to, like, McCutcheon for cheap against Lauer, and then again, I mean, I do like to target the Padres against bad lefties, and Derek Holland rolls in here, so, I mean, I guess I can consider Renfroe a little bit, Margot, but I don't know. I'm really just not loving this game overall. I think this is a good game that you could just kind of stay away from. Yeah, I'm just going to cross it off, I think. I really don't want to take too many guys. I guess if you force me to pick one, it's probably going to be McCutcheon on the Giants, and then I'll fire up Renfroe, you know, for the Padres, and that's kind of it. It's just I really don't like this game, and I think it's a good one to fade on this slate. Next game up on the slate, we got the Houston Astros, Seattle Mariners, 7 total with Gerrit Cole against James Paxton. And, yeah, like, I talked about this being a slate where we got some aces to like and, you know, matchups that we don't like, and this is kind of where I'm talking about. Really, Gerrit Cole and James Paxton are the two. I like some James Paxton, but he is a guy that's coming off of the DL. He had that issue. I'm just kind of scared to roster him here against the Astros, and I think I'm going to just stay away from Paxton. Sure, in tournaments, I get it. You definitely make sense. And if people aren't playing him, low on James Paxton is definitely interesting with the strikeout upside he can have. And his price, too, is really nice. 8.9K on FanDuel, DraftKings 9.6, and then on Fantasy Draft at 18.8K. So definitely interesting. You're getting a discount on Paxton. So I wouldn't completely overlook him. I don't think you should completely overlook him. Paxton is a guy that could definitely have a really big game. It's just the matchup is not the greatest. That's definitely something to have some worries about here. And coming off the DL, right, he got randomly scratched from that game. It can be really concerning. So yeah, overall, don't really know kind of what I'm going to do with him. I think it's just a good spot to kind of just take the wait and see approach and just see how things go. And I'm not gonna play any Astros here. I just think staying away from them is perfectly fine. Maybe like a Gattis for cheap on a FanDuel if I need that, but there's other guys I think you could play at that catcher first base option, so I don't think you need to. Yeah, I just don't think we have to go this route today with the Astros. Talk about Gerrit Cole, though. That is an Astro I want to roster here. I do think on DraftKings paying up for him could make some sense. On FanDuel, if you have a cheap stack and you have the money for him, I get it. It makes sense. I'm not in the business of targeting Seattle. It's not a team I like to, you know, just fire up pitchers against, but I do think this could be a really good spot to do it because Gerrit Cole has been phenomenal this year. Again, he's not like my favorite option, and it's a tough mix. You know, you're dealing with a lot of, there's some good pitchers on this slate, and there's not so great bats, so it's like, but you do want to spend up on these pitchers, but at the same time, the matchups aren't the greatest, so it's definitely like a mix of both. You kind of have to see how things go when you're building your rosters on DraftKings. I don't know if I want to do that Cole and Robbie Ray both option together. It's kind of tough. Same with Fantasy Draft. I don't know if I want to spend up on both. It just depends on how lineup shake up and how your construction's going. I do think if you can get a couple bats, and then go down from Cole to another pitcher, and you feel comfortable with it, and it looks better, I do think it's worth doing. It sounds like something I would want to be exploring. It's not just one of those days just to jam in Cole. I do think you want to kind of consider it a little more. But I do like Cole a lot. I do think it's a good spot for him. So we kind of just have to see how things shake up overall. Let's kind of go on to the next game. We got the Milwaukee Brewers, Los Angeles Dodgers, 7.5 total, and this is the last game on the slate. And again, two really good pitchers here, Freddy Peralta and Kenta Maeda. That Dodgers team is coming off almost getting no hit. Again, now they have to deal with Freddy Peralta, and I like Freddy Peralta. He's been good, phenomenal, getting those Ks, but he has been struggling with some walks recently. I do think this is a spot where he can struggle a bit against this Dodgers team. But I do think he's still a good play if you're looking for upside at that price from a point per dollar perspective. 8.5K on DraftKings. Fantasy Draft, he's 16.2K, and FanDuel 7.4. I think he's fine. Definitely someone I'd probably get a little tournament exposure to, but I'm not kind of considering him in cash games today. I do like on the opposite side, I like Kenta Maeda. I do think this could be a really good spot for him against this Brewers team that can strike out a ton. I know they just added a big bat and Mike Moustakas in there that could definitely make some things interesting. But it is a ballpark downgrade for the Brewers going into Los Angeles, so I do think it's something we got to be considering, and Vegas agrees. 3.4 1.44 implied total for the Brew Crew here. So Miami at 19.5K on Fantasy Draft, 10.1K on DraftKings, and 9.1K on FanDuel. I do think you really have to be considering Maeda here. He's a strong play in cash game, strong play in tournaments. I like him a lot, and I'm just going to trust in Dave Roberts a little bit, which is a scary thing to do, but I do think it's something we kind of should be doing on the slate. And it just, again, it's worth noting this Brewers team has gotten better with Moustakas, though. Like, they, you know, I'll just read the projected lineup down now. It's Yelich, Kane, Moustakas, Jesus Aguilar, Shaw, Thames, Pena, and Arcia. It's definitely a little bit scarier here, so worth noting, but I do think taking some shots on Maeda could be good. And one thing to note, today is a Monday, guys. With all these pitchers on the slate, and I do think it's close between a lot of these guys, I do think it's worth looking at some umpire data, seeing, you know, who's going to get the good umpires, who's going to get the bad umpires, and obviously looking at lineups, seeing who's going to be in, who's going to be out. So be sure to check that out, guys. Before we get on out of here, I'll give you my stack of the day. And I'm just going to go with the team I talked about earlier on the slate. It just seems like an Atlanta Braves kind of day. They're going to be tough for me to spend up on my cash gains, but I do like them a lot here. 5.02 xFIP for Wei-Yin Chen this season, 7.6K percentage, the walk rate at 9%. Obviously, things that you want to be seeing here. Then you look at the fly ball percentage at 41.4%. That's phenomenal. We want a guy that's giving up a ton of fly balls, and he's the guy. Against righties, giving up a 372 wOBA, ISO of 208. Hard contact 32% against righties. Against lefties, hard contact 39%. And the ISO is down, though, on them. It's 265 wOBA and an ISO of 136. So, yeah, Wei-Yin Chen is a guy that I do think that we should be targeting here. I think it's going to be a good time with the Braves offense. So fire them up. Make the Atlanta Braves my stack of the day. And don't be afraid to look at those bottom of the order guys. I really didn't talk about them, but it seems like Camargo's crushing the ball every day. Just don't miss out on a guy like him. I think he could be an interesting contrarian guy in your lineup. Just looking at the numbers, I mean, he's got the strongest ISO this season on this Braves team, and you know, a very good wOBA at 373. So a 277 ISO on Camargo. So yeah, don't miss out on this Braves stack. Should be a good time. But that about wraps up the slate, guys. I'm gonna get on out of here. If you have any questions for me or want to find my content ever, I always post it on my Twitter handle. It's at Travis Mangone. It's TravisMangone. Thanks a lot for joining me, and I am out of here.